recently about the religious state of our nation. According to the Telegraph, David Cameron's ignited a national debate over the place of religion in British public life. The Prime Minister has, in fact, urged Christians to be more evangelical about their faith, which I assume he means we should be speaking more about our faith. He's claimed that Britain should be a more confidently Christian country. There are many who sit on the other side of this debate. One of those contesting David Cameron's view has said that Britain is no longer a nation of believers, that Britain is now a post-Christian country. Sadly, it was Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, who contested the Prime Minister on that point. Does it matter? Does Christianity matter? Stupid Christians? I pity them. What's the point? There is no point. Christians are indeed to be pitied. The Bible even says so. We heard it read just now by Mark. Except that the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. Does the resurrection really matter? Our good question this morning. Does the resurrection really matter? Without a doubt, the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. What a great question to speak into. Do have your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, written around 53 AD. And there's also a sermon outline which may help us as we think about this question together. Does the resurrection really matter? There are many things we could have preached on this morning from 1 Corinthians 15 or beyond, verse 25, that the resurrection is evidence proving Jesus is Lord. Verse 35 onwards, resurrection bodies. What's that all about? We can't possibly cover everything, but I'm happy to chat more afterwards. I'm sure Piers or Jake would be happy to do that too. Does the resurrection really matter? There's good evidence to believe it happened. The gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are full of evidence. The opening verses of our reading just now give a summary of some of that evidence. Objective evidence. But that doesn't answer our question. The question is, does it matter? In verses 12 to 19, Paul gives six reasons why, stating them in the negative. If the resurrection didn't happen, where the sermon outline has a big cross, verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, one, preaching is useless. We preach the Lord Jesus who died and rose again. Two, faith is useless. Christian faith is in the risen Lord Jesus. If he didn't rise from the dead, then faith is useless. 3, verse 15, Christians are liars. When we speak of Jesus rising from the dead, when we celebrate Easter weekend, it's all a lie if the resurrection didn't really happen. Easter really is then about chocolate eggs and fluffy bunnies. 4, verse 17, and here's a biggie. There is no salvation. We remain in our sins. We stand condemned. Sins are not forgiven. Now, that's quite significant. Let's hold on that for a moment. Paul seems to be saying that without the resurrection, the cross is not effective. Paul says it elsewhere too, in his letter to the church at Rome, chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection plays a part in the forgiveness of our sins and fixing of our broken relationship with God. Paul's spoken of sins in 1 Corinthians 15:3. The things that cause our relationship with God to be broken. Yes, things we do and don't do, but ultimately the attitude of our hearts. Hearts that want to be God over our lives instead of the true God. To do what we want or to live without reference to him. All of which means we live opposed to him, or to use another of Paul's phrases, as enemies of God. We give God the proverbial two fingers and tell him to shove off. The resurrection plays a part in the forgiveness of our sins and fixing of our broken relationship with God. If the resurrection didn't happen, if God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, vindicate his work on the cross, there's no reason to believe our sins have been dealt with. Salvation is salvation from something and to something. We can't be saved from something without being saved to something. We're called into a living relationship with the risen Christ. There's no relationship with the risen Christ if, in fact, he's dead. Where are we? Verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, one, preaching is useless. Two, faith is useless. Three, Christians are liars. Four, there's no salvation. Five, verse 18, there's no hope beyond death. All who die in their sins perish. All of us die in our sins if Christ has not been raised, including Christians. So there's no hope beyond death for anyone. Death has won. And finally, six, verse 19, Christians are pathetic. Christians really are to be pitied more than all men. Christian faith is in the risen Lord Jesus. Christians trust in the risen Lord Jesus. If the risen Lord Jesus is in fact the dead Lord Jesus, then he certainly isn't Lord. He's just dead Jesus. Which means we aren't saved now, and there's also no hope beyond death in the future. The Christian life is a sham. It's a waste. In fact, more than that, the trials and challenges Christians face for being Christians, the present sufferings, well, they're to be pitied. Does the resurrection really matter? Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, one, preaching is useless. Two, faith is useless. Three, Christians are liars. Four, there's no salvation. Five, there's no hope beyond death. Six, and Christians are pathetic. To sum it up in one sentence, Christianity's false and meaningless. So yeah, the resurrection does really matter. It certainly matters to Christians who trust in the risen Lord Jesus. And we have good reason to believe in a risen Lord Jesus. We heard some of the evidence read in verses 1 to 11. Part of the reason, Paul says with confidence in verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then we heard in verses 15 to 19 how Christianity is false and meaningless. But verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised. And Paul then goes on to explain why that matters in the positive. Why the resurrection really does matter. It's a contrast to the scenario he's just painted for us, like the case study question we do at school or on a training course. In fact, I was at a training day on weddings on Thursday, and we covered a number of case studies. What if the bride's late? Or the families don't get on with each other? Or when you ask if anyone knows any reason why this couple shouldn't marry, what do you do if someone stands up and says yes? Paul gives us two scenarios. Scenario 1, verses 11 to 19. Hypothetical, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. We've heard the implications of that. And scenario 2, verse 20 onwards, and this one actually happened. Verse 20, Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead. What then are the implications? Why does that matter? There are many reasons in this chapter and beyond. But two things to draw out on the sermon outline. If the resurrection really happened, which Paul is convinced it did, it's the only hope for the future, and it gives true meaning to the present. Christians trust in the risen Lord Jesus. Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep in him, by which Paul's referring to Christians who've died. We've already established that there's no hope beyond death for anyone who dies in their sins, but Jesus offers forgiveness of sins for all who come to him, who trust in him. Elsewhere, the Bible tells us that Jesus came so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The resurrection does really matter because it's our hope for the future. The hope of our resurrection. For all who trust in Jesus, the one who's not dead, but alive. The first fruits of the crop, the first apples or corn or potatoes, you know more are on their way. Because of his life, we can have life. And if there's no hope for the future without Jesus' resurrection, his resurrection is the only hope anyone has for the future. But it is a hope for anyone who believes in him. The resurrection of Jesus does really matter because it guarantees our resurrection. Hope for our future. Hope to cling on to for those we love who've died trusting in Jesus. Eternal life is theirs, and we can be certain we will see them again if we too die trusting in him. For eternal life is also ours. We can have life because of his life. The resurrection does really matter. I've been thinking about weddings this week. Doesn't the prospect of the wedding day change us? You know, before it's even happened, we get engaged and suddenly we're looking ahead, focused on the future, on the wedding day and beyond into marriage. We begin to make plans, say and do things in preparation. We begin to change. The hope of the future changes us in the present. It's not yet fully happened, but we live in light of it. And that's not just weddings, but any future event. You know, there are a number of expectant mums in our church family. No baby yet, but the changes have begun. In preparation, anticipation of the new arrival at some point in the future. Future hope changes the present. The resurrection, hope for the future changes the present. It gives true meaning to the present. There are different ways this works itself out. For those who have this future hope, Christians, those trusting in the risen Lord Jesus, it gives hope through the present storms and struggles of life. Think of the pain and suffering in our lives or in our church family. Future hope doesn't ease the pain, but it gives a different perspective on it. Not protection from, but hope through. And not just pain and suffering, but some of the other areas we find hard about living as Christians in the present. Areas we struggle, such as evangelism, sharing the gospel, the good news of the risen Lord Jesus with others. When we feel awkward and ill-equipped to do it, why bother planning evangelism courses in growth groups? Why bother each of us putting ourselves on the line with family and friends and neighbours or work colleagues in sharing the gospel with them? Why walk into that hassle we'll get for being a Christian, especially one who shares their faith in the Lord Jesus with others? Well, because he is the risen Lord Jesus, not just dead Jesus. Because there's an eternal perspective which gives true meaning to the present. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But we have an eternal hope because of the resurrection. And we know that the only hope others have for the future is in the risen Lord Jesus too. So we're motivated to hold him out to others, not in reluctant obedience, but in joyful hope and anticipation. Other things we find hard about being a Christian in the present. What about giving money or serving with our time and energy? The resurrection, hope for the future. Eternal hope gives true meaning to those things in the present. We give sacrificially of our money and time and energy when we fix our eyes on eternity rather than on the present. Because of the resurrection, we take our eyes off the present. We no longer look at the present for satisfaction, but into eternity. And we realise our money and time and energy is better used serving the risen Lord Jesus as best we can than used serving ourselves. This is the sense of what Paul captures in verse 58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Christian, your labour in the present is not in vain because there is an eternity. Our present labours in the Lord endure into eternity. The resurrection gives true meaning to the present because it sets the present in light of the future. This hope for the future is the key to getting a right perspective on the present. Think of those who've abandoned their faith because they haven't held on to this. In pursuit of the gods of this age and a particular lifestyle, too busy, for example, earning money or chasing sexual fulfillment or relaxing or playing sport to press on in the faith. Conversely, consider those Christians who faced death. And we perhaps think of the Abuja bombing this week, because they clung to the eternal hope they have in the risen Lord Jesus. This should both challenge and encourage each of us here, wherever we're at before the Lord Jesus. Think of how quickly we go off the boil as Christians in the challenges of life, or those here who've never put their trust in the risen Lord Jesus because the cost of living for him just seems too great. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Why are we struggling as a church family to find enough people to serve our children and young people on Sunday mornings in Scramblers, Sunday Club, Lasers, or in Friday Club and K? The resurrection means we can move our gaze from this present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Yet there is also much wonderful and faithful service going on week by week because the resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Why, as we heard at the annual meeting on Wednesday night, is there a budget deficit for this church family of £20,000 this year? When as a church family, our income and wealth, money in current accounts, savings accounts, pension funds, tied up in property or put aside for holidays, is enough to pay that deficit off 10 times, 100 times over or more. We said on Wednesday that if 80 people give £1 a day for 6 months, we'd nearly be there. But what if one person remortgaged their house by £20,000 and paid it off over 10 years? If two or three did it, we'd have no deficit and we'd have also a brand new church hall just like that. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Yet people are giving and the ministry has grown over the past few years because the resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. I know these are sensitive areas of our lives. Forget church finances. What about personal finances? Why do we so easily find ourselves in debt, buying things on credit we can't really afford, caught up in materialism? The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Why do we so easily succumb to sexual temptation on the internet or in person with those we ought not? For example, adultery or even just flirting, caught up in short-term fulfillment. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. What about those of us here today feeling broken physically, emotionally or spiritually, in pain and struggling? Sometimes in the brokenness of life, eternal hope is all we feel able to cling on to. Wonderfully, the resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. There are many who found true comfort in doing just that. And this hope is uniquely Christian because we believe in the God who conquered death. We have tombs here in this church, in our churchyard, but they're full. The only tomb ever in history that's empty is Jesus' tomb. Let's never forget that truth. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Because of where we're heading, working for the Lord Jesus is worth it. As we finish, remember, it isn't Friday. Sunday's come. Verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The resurrection does really matter. Without it, Christianity's false and meaningless. The resurrection does really matter. It's our only hope for the future, and it gives true meaning for the present. We will all die, but we needn't all fear death. Death is a defeated enemy. There is hope beyond the grave for all who are trusting in the risen Lord Jesus. We're here on Sunday morning in a baptism service, April's baptism, where we've seen a picture of death and new life. That truth of death defeated and hope beyond the grave bites even more clearly in the middle of a funeral service. Death is a defeated enemy. There is hope beyond the grave for all who are trusting in the risen Lord Jesus. If the longing for what's to come begins in our hearts now, we need not fear death as those without hope. The resurrection gives hope for the future. And whilst we wait for the joy and celebration of being with the risen Lord Jesus, this encourages us to continue confidently, living in obedience to him whilst we wait. The resurrection gives true meaning to the present. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection does really matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is risen indeed for the future hope and present meaning it brings to our lives. Please may you capture in each of our hearts a sense of that this morning in a way that truly changes our lives, that we might love you more in all we think and say and do, not just now, but forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.